everyone, welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 105, and my name is Matt. This is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. And in this week's episode, I'm going to review Linux Mint 19, and I'm going to talk to you about what my thoughts are and if Linux Mint lives up to their mission statement. And so first of all, let's jump right in. What is Linux Mint? Linux Mint is a very popular Linux-based operating system that is free and open source. And it is a Linux distribution that is very popular amongst advanced users. But also, if any of you out there are looking to get into using Linux for the first time, Linux Mint is a great resource for you because of its ease of use. So let's start off today with basically talking about the mission statement for Linux Mint. And coming from the About page on the Linux Mint website, they basically say the purpose of Linux Mint is to produce a modern, elegant, and comfortable operating system which is both powerful and easy to use. Linux Mint is one of the most popular Linux distributions and is used by millions of people all around the world. And some of the reasons for the success of Linux Mint are that it works out of the box with full multimedia support and is very easy to use. It's both free and open source, and it is community driven, has a very wide user base, so that any of its users can send feedback to the project so that their ideas can be used to improve Linux Mint. It's based both on Debian and Ubuntu, and it provides over 30,000 packages and some of the best software that's available out there. Linux Mint is safe and reliable. It's very conservative in its approach to software updates. It has a very unique update manager. And because it's based off the Linux architecture, Linux Mint requires very little maintenance. So you don't need things like antivirus or anti-spyware software, that type of thing, unless you plan on sharing files with a lot of Windows users. Linux is built to be secure from the ground up. So in most cases, you do not need things like antivirus and anti-spyware if you are very careful with what you do on your system. You never want to run your daily use scenarios as the root or the administrator user of your Linux OS. So that's why you create your own usernames and then usually use commands like sudo or su for super user access. So Linux Mint 19 has just released recently. There are basically 7 different releases. There are 2 Cinnamon desktop releases for 32-bit and 64-bit. There are 2 Mate desktop environments, again in 32, 64-bit, and an XFCE desktop environment for 32-bit and 64-bit, along with the Linux Mint Debian edition. I'm just going to talk strictly on the Linux Mint 19 Terra, the Cinnamon Desktop Edition today. But one of the things that I want to say is one of my favorite things about Linux Mint is that no matter which desktop environment that you're using, it's always a very polished and complete. Well, let's just say everything looks and feels really polished, no matter which version of Linux Mint that you're using. In my experience, all the way going back to Linux Mint 8 years ago. The one thing that I did notice, and I did not hear about previously, was that the Linux Mint team is dropping the KDE version of Linux Mint. So the previous version of Linux Mint, 18.3, was the last release of the KDE version of Linux Mint. The reason for that was basically because of a few different things that with Linux Mint Cinnamon, XFE, and the Mate editions, basically the KDE apps and the whole ecosystem have very little in common with Cinnamon XFCE Mate Editions. And so therefore, it just adds a whole lot of extra work for the team. And I think it totally makes sense. And here's why. Most people who are really into using the KDE desktop right now have probably switched to the KDE Neon. And I think this actually opens up the Linux Mint team to do a lot of other improvements and making what they do even better on their main lines like the Cinnamon Edition. So I think it's a really great idea. Sad to see the KDE Edition to go away in Mint, and I'm sure that upsets a lot of users, but I think it's a good thing overall. So what's new in Linux Mint 19? Well, first of all, it uses GTK 3.22, which gives Linux Mint 19 that fresh and refined look. You'll notice that the interface is a more flat look. And basically, there are subtle changes that are supposedly made to be a little more pleasant on the eyes. One of the things that I noticed was the as soon as I spun up the live USB of Linux Mint was the revamped welcome screen. What I really liked about it was it took you step by step through some of the things you should do with your system, like creating backup images, which I hadn't seen before in Linux Mint. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on, but I was really impressed with the Welcome to Linux Mint screen and how it allows new users to become more familiar with Linux. I really think that was a really cool thing. A couple other things that I noticed with Mint was an overhaul of the Mint updater, which now categorizes the different types of updates. So you have security updates, you have kernel updates, and you have software updates, which makes it a little easier to follow and understand which updates are the most important ones that you need as to maybe not so important updates. Along with the updater being sort of revamped, their software manager has been revamped as well. There are new transitions in the store itself. Its search has become much more faster. And if you are looking for games in the games category, you're only going to get games in your search query. In the past, other types of topics would pop up in that search menu. I think it overall it just looks very organized and is quickly becoming one of my favorite software managers for Linux. I'm really blown away with how much work and effort had and how much improvement has been made over the last several years with Linux Mint. It has just continued to be polished year after year. Lots of improvements have also been made in the Nemo file manager. So you're going to find that it's now faster than ever. It allows you now to save search results by adding a star next to it. And you can see your saved searches by right-clicking on any of the star icons. One of my favorite things about Linux in particular is basically there's no data collection happening with Linux Mint. Now, there are some Linux distributions out there that basically collect hardware stats. They collect application preferences and things like that. Linux Mint doesn't do any of that. It won't be collecting any data on the users. And that comes into a privacy issue. If you don't want any of your information being sent out to developers, not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but if you don't want your information being sent out at all, Linux Mint is not doing that. And if you really want to get into it, you can actually hop into a terminal and you can access certain software and you can see which data is being sent over your network. So you won't find any of that happening in Linux Mint, which I think is a good thing. You're going to see lots of improvement for high DPI screens, which basically makes everything look better on high definition displays. There are lots of improvements to the Cinnamon desktop itself. I won't go through all of them, but things like the region settings is now supporting the ability to show uncommon keyboard layouts. In the power settings, shutdown immediately can now be chosen for when you close your lid or when your battery levels get to a critical level. Your touchpad will now activate if there are no other pointing devices present, which is very handy. Just lots of little tiny changes here and there that I'm seeing. The longer that I spent with Linux Mint 19, I've only been using it a few days, but the longer that I have been using it, I've never really been one to use Linux Mint as my sort of daily driver. I've always loved Linux Mint. And to give you an example, I've used Linux Mint in educational settings. Previously, when our school district was using Windows XP still, XP was old, it was bland, it wasn't at all what I wanted to use. So I had an old Dell laptop that I put Linux Mint on. I was able to install software and drivers for our school's smart boards in Linux. And so I just disconnected the school desktop altogether from the smart board, and I ran it on a desktop with 2 gigabytes of RAM basically for a whole year. And the kids really enjoyed the look of Linux Mint at the time. They were curious about it. They wanted to know more about it. And then we got new desktops, which ran Windows 7 for a long time. And I never put Linux Mint back on our smart boards. But I've used it in educational settings. I've used it as sort of a test computer, so to speak, for many years. Off and on, I would switch back and forth between Linux Mint and other Linux distributions. At one point in time, I had a desktop that had Windows on one hard drive, and I had three different types of three Linux distros on a separate hard drive. One of them was Ubuntu. The other two were a Linux Mint Cinnamon Edition and Linux Mint KDE Edition, because I just wanted to sort of learn the ins and outs of what the differences were at the time of all three. So I've been using Linux Mint, and especially the KDE edition and the Cinnamon edition, for years now. And the more that I take a look at Linux Mint 19, the more that I start to think that this might be an option for me in the future if I choose to step away from, Antergos, which I'm using right now. So one of the things that I want to talk about with you all today is something called Time Shift for Linux. Now, I haven't had a chance yet to fully try this out. If you're a Mac user, you're probably familiar with something called Time Machine. And Time Shift is an easy way to back up and restore a Linux desktop by creating snapshots and images of your current state of your computer. You can set it to do a daily, twice daily. You can set it to do a weekly or monthly, or basically on boot. It'll take a snapshot of your system. And if something were to go wrong with an update, or your computer would crash for some reason, you can roll back to a previous state on your computer. And from what I am reading and understanding, it's not only available in Ubuntu and Linux Mint, but it also is available for Arch Linux and Antergos and Manjaro and other distros as well. I'm really excited to check out Time Shift. If you haven't checked it out yet, your mileage may vary. I'm not exactly sure how well it works at this point, but especially in Linux Mint 19, it does look very sleek. It's has a lot of features that I'm excited to try out. And you can also, so Time Shift, it doesn't just back up your home folder with it, with all your files. It doesn't just back up all of your apps. It has the ability to capture the entire OS and all the contents into a single snapshot, which is kind of cool. And if you're not used to backing up your system on Linux, maybe you should take a look at, Time Shift, because I've never really liked other alternatives at this point for backing up things. I know there's a lot of things out there. I won't mention them on the show. Well, one comes to mind, like rsync, and there's been other backup programs that I never really cared for, never really liked, but they all seem to be missing something, and TimeShift might be my solution to all this. There's no hassle with the command line. Everything is done from the GUI, and you just create a snapshot and you're done. You can even restore a Linux system if you can't log into your system. Basically, you'll need a live USB drive, and then you can boot into a live session, download and install TimeShift using the instructions online, and then you can browse to your backup location and restore, and your system will be restored. And you can even reinstall a bootloader again, which is really cool. So definitely want to check out TimeShift. I think that's pretty awesome. There's so many great things about Mint 19 that we've talked about, whether it's just the general appearance, the ease of use. Install takes minutes. It's very supported. Again, because Linux Mint is a long-term support release, that means it's going to be supported until 2023. So you got 5 years of updates, which is awesome. If you are used to installing Linux, or if you've never installed Linux before, you know it's very simple. Basically, three easy steps. You download the ISO file, you flash it to a hard drive, and then boot it up into on your system. You can try it out to see if it works on your computer. If it does, that's really great. If it doesn't, you may have other solutions out there to get it to work. And then you may have to install a few drivers here or there. But for the most part, Linux Mint, I don't think I've ever had an issue with Linux Mint on any system, other than maybe getting a wireless driver to work for wireless. That's very easy once you understand how it works. So Linux Mint has always been my go-to Linux distro, especially on Mac. And it's been a long time since I actually installed Linux Mint on Mac hardware. With Linux Mint 19, I'm actually considering making a partition on my Mac to try it out, because it just looks great. It really does. It's super polished. Other updates that I have come across, there have been some updates to the login screen to support multi-monitor support. In the past, that's sort of been an issue, having multi-monitors and being able to log in. That's not so much of an issue now. Lots of different artwork improvements. I really like, I've always liked the background collections of Linux Mint. They always have a wide range of varying artistic images that I think are some of the best in the Linux world. I know that's a little thing, but it does go a long way, again, for that whole polished feel of like a complete OS. One of the things that I wanted to talk about as well is there is an upgrade path from Mint 18.3 to Mint 19. Back on June 29th, Clem, one of the project heads of Linux Mint, basically said that if you're planning on updating Linux Mint, bear in mind that an upgrade can go a bit wonky or leave residue inside your last install, such as packages remaining that you wouldn't be there in a clean install of Linux Mint 19. So basically, if you're going to upgrade, just beware. Your upgrade could go flawlessly, but in some chances you may have something go wrong and have some kind of leftover junk from your last install. And one of the things you might want to consider is just doing a clean install and having a fresh system. And so if you like the way your system is running now, it's basically still supported for a while. And if you're excited about Linux 19, you may just want to do a clean upgrade, clean install without an upgrade, and start from scratch, so to speak. You can also try the upgrade path and just make sure you have everything backed up before you do it. And hey, you may even want to give time shift a try and see exactly if it'll work for you. So that's just my additional thoughts on that as well. Now, if you're looking for a complete setup, one of the things that I would really like to get my hands on is the Mintbox 2, Mintbox Mini 2. A while back, there was a mini sort of PC called the Mintbox that came out, and this seems to be the latest iteration of that. It's basically a tiny desktop PC running the Linux Mint distribution. It is a quad-core Intel Celeron J3455, which brings a performance boost, but is a fanless computer. It's barely bigger than a computer mouse, and the cost of it is about $299. Base configuration ships with 4 gigabytes of RAM and a 64 gigabyte solid-state drive. And for $50 more, you can get the Pro Edition, which doubles the RAM and boosts the storage capacity to 120 gigs. Comes with two USB 3.0 ports, a pair of USB 2.0 ports, HDMI out, and gigabit Ethernet as well, and built-in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So it's basically a mini PC, the size of a mouse, that you can connect to a external monitor or TV, and it would run Linux Mint for you. I've never had an opportunity to review one. If I had a chance to review one, I would really love to. I believe there is actually even a micro SD card slot as well as a headphone microphone jack as well. So this would be, in my opinion, much better than the route that I went maybe over a year ago, where I wanted to try the Remix Mini Android-based tiny desktop setup. And when I got the Remix Mini shortly thereafter, the project was abandoned. But in this case, I think the Mint 2 comes with Mint 19 pre-installed. It is pretty awesome looking. It definitely looks like something very fun to try out. And I just wanted to bring it up because I think it just came out recently, as of maybe June 30th, the latest releases of the Mintbox. So that's really kind of cool and where it's at. Okay. So have you tried Linux Mint 19? Let me know if you have tried it. Let me know what you think about it. I think Linux Mint 19 is my favorite Linux Mint release to date. And back from the beginning of the show, the purpose of Linux Mint is to produce a modern, elegant, and comfortable operating system, which is both powerful and easy to use. And I think they nailed it on this one. I think they really did. It is just a beautiful design. It's very easy to use, very powerful. And Linux Mint is now probably my go-to Linux OS for beginners. And I've always sort of jump back and forth between Ubuntu Mate and Linux Mint, but I think this version of Linux Mint really tops them all. So I'm going to keep it. I have it in a VM right now. I'm going to keep using it for a while, and just kind of as that. And who knows? I may actually install it either on my Mac or on another hard drive on my System 76. We'll see how that goes. So, if you'd like to leave some feedback for the show, you can send me an email at mrptechreviews@gmail.com. If you'd like to learn more about the show, you can go over to mrptechreviews.com. You can learn about all the things that I do, and you can also join us on our Discord chat server. Just look for that button on our website, and you can see that as well. Lots of fun things happening. A lot of people joined the Discord chat this past week, and I welcome them all to the chat room. Really enjoy hearing from everybody. One of the things that I wanted to mention on the show that somebody mentioned to me is that just recently I was talking about Ubuntu Studio with a friend of mine, and there is a new manual on audio production for Ubuntu Studio, and it's basically a guidebook for audio production on Linux, I should say. And if there's something that you can find use of. The link is https://help.ubuntu.com/community/ubuntu studio/audio handbook. I'll put the link in the show notes in case you're interested in that. Other than that, that's going to round up this week's show. If you'd like to check out all the other great shows, you can go to podnuts.com and check out the great shows there. We also have a YouTube channel. Going all the way back to episode 1 of the MRP Tech Podcast, you can just search for MRP Tech Reviews on YouTube, and you'll see my YouTube channel, which I have the podcast episodes. I have live feed episodes as well. Sometimes we do live shows, and we sort of archive them there. And once in a while, I just kind of do tech tips, that type of thing, videos that I post on YouTube from time to time too. So you can check out the YouTube channel. That's going to do it for this time, guys. I hope you're enjoying these new shows. Coming up in the next few weeks, I have a couple of interviews that I'm really excited about. I won't tell you who they are just yet, but I think a little bit of everything for everyone. And that's going to do it for this week, guys. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time.